Amen, amen, amen. Glory, 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 glory to God. Okay, so I just want to usher us into the spirit of the meeting. You know, just get our hearts prepared for, you know, the spirit of what we have in the coming days. Just before we begin to learn, let's just bless the name of the Lord. Just speak in tongues shortly. Just speak in tongues shortly. Speak in tongues shortly. Father, we thank you. Bosh devra Jesus talbalush vegiateno. Paliva shatalba radabashte Jesus dala gradoshte prekelida. Tolbo radish vegiatande jevegelaba deje jevragosto prakalada. Poste fela crisa zish cavali brandoste felegrata tala balega tua deve. Paliva shatolo borodosh del vege vasti brande vasto balagatara. In Jesus' name. Just pray shortly that your heart grasps the message that I'll be sharing with you today. And also that you will put it to work, you will put it to effect, what you learn and what you hear. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 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 So today we're going to be looking at preparing for spiritual meetings. Preparing for spiritual meetings. So we're going to be looking at what to do before, during, and after these spiritual meetings, or what to do before, during, and after a spiritual meeting. So oftentimes there are many assumptions that are made concerning the faith in discipleship. And it ought not to be so. It does not have to be so. So oftentimes we leave ourselves to assume that people know certain things, but I think it's not too fair, right? I'm one of the people who also believe that all ramifications of the faith ought to be taught, you know, or explained and then understood by the believer. That means that we're not leaving to chance the things that you should know, especially matters concerning the faith, the Christian faith, hoping that people some way, somehow, get it. All right? So the believer has to be taught how. In everything, the believer has to be taught how. So today, we're just going to look at this. Preparing for spiritual meetings, what to do before, during, and after such meetings. It could be a special meeting, it could be a church meeting. It could be just any kind of a meeting that, you know, is spiritual in its essence. Okay, let's look at the scripture. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. You probably should get your Bible for this. Okay. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." All right. So the word teach or the word disciple is a word matheteo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O is a word matheteo. It means to teach. All right. Or instruct. All right. So oftentimes learning to become. That means in discipleship, you will be learning to become. And that also means you are being made. All right. So you are being made. You are making. So the one that teaches is making or forming. All right. Because the truth is that disciples are not spontaneously raised. They are not spontaneously created. So there's a conscious formation, there's a conscious building in discipleship. All right? And that also means that the teacher has an expectation of the students. The teacher has an expectation of the students. So he teaches to the end that they conform to God's word that they are being taught. So anytime we have somebody who disciples is somebody who will be teaching. All right? And in discipleship, you are going to be teaching. We said you're going to be teaching by precepts and by example. So you're going to be learning. You're going to be hearing, you're going to be putting in effect what you have been taught. So there's a conscious formation of what you are being molded into. All right? So in verse 20, it says, teaching them to observe all things. So like I said, we're going to be teaching. All right? And you're going to be teaching them to observe all things. We can only observe you, or you can only observe all things when you have been taught. So disciples are taught to observe all things, right? All things. All things. For example, there are certain professions where they are taught some things collectively. I mean, they are taught all things collectively. So let's say when you go to the army and they say it's time for jogging, you know, and everybody gets up from their sleep at, let's say, 4:30 a.m. and everybody's trying to run, then you say, no, I'm so tired, I really do not feel like jogging at this time, right? That's the day you probably will be expelled from military training. Let's say another example is, you know, when you, some of you have not gone up the plane, like you've not had the opportunity, you know, to fly off using the plane. But air hostesses are very wonderful people. Oh, the first time I saw one, I was like, wow. You know, it's so nice a thing to see. They look so posh. Very polished, you know, very whitened teeth. Their dresses are very clean, you know, very smart in their presentations. So why? Because that's how they have been trained. There's no air hostess, I believe strongly, that you see them and like, they are dirty, their shoes are chopped off from one side, and they are speaking to you anyhow, like, hey, come and enter into the airplane. No. No airline wants to, you know, employ such a fellow. So you get to realize that they are trained in a certain manner. When you see air hostesses, it's like they are trained in a certain manner. When you see soldiers, they are trained in a certain manner, right? So everyone has to go through that kind of training. There are no assumptions. There are no assumptions like, oh, I think she looks very pretty, so she knows everything. No, everybody goes through that kind of a training, all right? So you realize they act the same. They think the same. In many professions, it's the same. If you got into the pharmacy profession, any pharmacist that sees some kinds of infections, they show forth with certain signs, you know, will most definitely point you to a specific kind of an infection that the fellow has. It's specific in its orientation. There are no confusions about it. Why? Because there have been laid out structures as to how to do the things that pharmacists are supposed to do. So that's what happens. All right? So the things should be the same. Now you just imagine maybe you get pregnant and then you know very well you are pregnant because of what you did with your husband. And then you visit a doctor and then the doctor tells you, I think it's diarrhea. Say, but I have a bumpy stomach. I feel the baby kick. Say, no, but I feel it's diarrhea. Then you get angry. You bang the door. And then you get into another office. Say, oh, I came to just check a few. Say, it's HIV AIDS. You know, there's going to be like very, very serious trouble. Because there's no consistency in attitude. There's no consistency in diagnosis, in prognosis. There's no consistency. So medical students cannot be left to chance to assume that they know certain things. No, they have to be taught. Right? So in discipleship, it's the same. I don't want to make any assumptions that maybe this guy is very spiritual. And so I think he knows this already. Nope. There are no assumptions in discipleship. So you will teach them to observe all things. Now, the word all is actually collective of all types. Do you see that? Including how to prepare for meetings and how to be in a meeting. So I'm going to teach you how to be in a meeting. How do you get into a meeting? What do you do during a meeting? What do you do after a meeting? So the believer must be taught all ramifications of the faith, all kinds of aspects of the faith. Anything that concerns the faith, the disciple has to be taught. Right? Likewise, how to prepare for spiritual meetings. All right? So, you know, just so you know, why am I talking so much on this and then we now get into the subject matter? So you will appreciate such blessedness of giving yourself to discipleship. All right? And just so you know, in discipleship, you are brought up in a different way. Okay? You will learn new things. Right, you put off the knowledge that you have and then you learn Christ. Say, no. In my family, this is how we do it. No, when you're being taught and when you're being raised rightly in discipleship, you put off what you know and then you take on what Christ wants you to know. All right, so we are going to accomplish this by teaching. Let's see something in Acts chapter 14, verse 19. Acts chapter 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he was dead. Verse 20, howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city, they had taught many. Alright? So, they had taught many. What were they teaching many? They were teaching them matters of the faith. Matters of the faith. Alright? You see that in verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So, they were teaching and they were encouraging and they were teaching. And what they were doing is that they were strengthening. They were encouraging them to continue in the faith. So, there is a teaching of the faith. There's a teaching of the faith. There's a teaching on how to be in meetings. There's a teaching on how to get into meetings. There's even teachings on what to do after a meeting. And the church has a culture. We must not despise that culture of the church. The church has a culture, and we must endeavor to keep it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Verse 18. I want us to see the word church and what it means and why we have meetings. Church and what it means. Matthew 16, 18. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Church. Church. Is the word ecclesia. A called out people, a gathering of citizens of Christians, oftentimes, you know, gathered for worship. And a called out people who gather for a purpose. So, we're not just called out from darkness into light, we're called out from darkness into light for a purpose. And so, the church, which are called out people, will oftentimes gather and they have a purpose, a reason, an intent why they gather. So, we gather and we hold meetings on purposes. And these meetings are to be in a confined place. Right, so the meeting is in a confined place. It's a place where we can gather. It's a place where we know. It's a place where we meet. So there's a place. There's first a place. Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. There's a place. We see Jesus speak to his disciples concerning places or a place. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. All right? That's a place. There is a place for a meeting. There is a place. In Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Acts chapter 1, verse 13. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and the 12, and the 11, verse 14. These all continued in one accord. One accord. They were being in a place. I'll explain one accord in a few minutes' time. But they were in a place, right? All of the people were at a place. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. Another in a place. Right? So, oftentimes, people must come to that appreciation when we say, we gather. It means we are learning from those that we inherited the faith from. So there is a place for a gathering. There's a place where we gather. There's a place. In Acts chapter 4, verses 24. Acts 4, 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice with one accord. They were at a place. For us to be able to see things happen, all right, as one people, we must begin to appreciate places, gatherings, meetings. We see that we see Jesus Christ do the same thing. We see him do the same thing. He gives them a place and he says, we gather here. And that place, be there. And he tells them the location. He says, it's at a place called Jerusalem. And so, we are gathering at a place. And that place is called Jerusalem. So, get to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, they were in a place. In Acts chapter 4, they were also in a place. So, Jesus didn't leave them without meetings. Meetings are so important. Jesus did not leave them without meetings. And if he didn't leave them without meetings, we must know how not to trivialize meetings that he's left with us also. So it's in the culture of the church to be able to gather. It's in the culture of the church to be able to gather. The church must be able to gather. Was it say, oh, you know, I'm fine. I'm online. I serve God in my heart. There's no need for gathering. I'm fine. No, but Jesus gave them a place to gather. So the last time I taught on, you know, the subject on the church, I made us understand that it also has nothing to do with days. Right? It's nothing to do with days. SDAs meet on Saturdays. They are well saved. It has nothing to do with it being a Monday or it being a Sunday. Say, oh, you know, I just want to be alone from the gathering, from God's church for a while. No, it's wrong. No, it's a very wrong thing. In fact, it's actually like a very primary sign of backsliding. When you no longer want to be present at meetings. Meetings don't move you. Say, we are meetings. Say, no, you know, I'm just fine. I'll be unavailable for a while. No, that's wrong. So, it has nothing to do with the days. We could meet on a Monday. We could meet on a Friday. We could meet on a Wednesday. We could meet on a Sunday. It has nothing to do with days. The only thing that matters is that people are showing up on those respective days. In fact, in United Emirates, churches don't meet on Sundays. They meet on Fridays. Because Fridays are more holiday-like for them. And Sundays are like Mondays for them. So it's not an issue of days. It's God's gathering. And it's God's meeting. And days do not really matter. Are we listening? So we must cherish it when we say, we gather. We gather. That's an excitement. We gather. That's an excitement. So disciples understand the essence of meetings. And they will respond to these meetings. They ought to. They have to. and they need to respond rightly. So, you make preparations for spiritual meetings. And I'm going to show you how. You make preparations for spiritual meetings. You make preparations for spiritual meetings. Let's see something in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. So Paul, in his writing to Timothy, is telling Timothy, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." So there's a way you ought to behave yourself when you're coming to meetings. I told you church is a word, ecclesia. It's a gathering of people for worship. So whenever we gather, that's God's church. God's church has gathered. That's God's holy assembly. And Paul is telling Timothy, there is a manner. There's a way you need to prepare for being amongst these people, which is my church. So there's a manner, there's a culture. There's a way you go about it. There's a way you handle it. You don't just stumble into it. No, there's a conscious preparation for it. Special meetings, there's a conscious preparation for it. There are things you must expose yourself to. There are things you must do. There are things you must do. Before meetings, during the meeting, and after the meetings. So let's look at a few things I wrote down. It's going to be pretty short, but I want you to just be blessed of them. And then add this to your arsenals whenever you're getting ready for meetings. So before a meeting, what must you do? What must you do? So number one, you want to spend quality time praying in the Spirit. Okay? You want to spend quality time praying in the Spirit. Particularly, you're going to be speaking with tongues. So, you are setting up yourself consciously for these meetings. So you will speak in tongues with the mind to receive all that God wills for you in that meeting. So for everything that God wills for you in that meeting, you're going to be speaking in tongues. So you're going to be speaking in tongues. You're speaking in tongues. 5 days too, you're speaking in tongues. 4 days too, you're speaking in tongues. 3 days too, you're speaking in tongues. 2 days too, you're speaking in tongues. You're speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues. You're praying in the Holy Ghost. You're speaking in tongues. You're getting your mind ready for the meeting. You're getting your heart ready for the meeting. You do this by praying in the Spirit. Right? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Exercise that consciousness of praying in the Spirit lots before you get into special meetings, before you get into spiritual meetings. Do that a lot of the times. So prayer is an essential part of this. You know, as you pray, it has a way of setting you, your heart and your mind ready to receive of what you're going to be taught in the meeting. It just has a way of preparing you, rather than just stumbling in without any kind of prayer. Sometimes it's good to pray an hour before the meeting, 30 minutes into the meeting. Or probably, you know, if you're far away, you could spend some time praying a few minutes or an hour into the meeting you are getting yourself prepared for the meeting. So you pray and pray. You pray and you pray. Amen. So as we get ready for spiritual meetings, it doesn't matter what kind of a meeting it is, any meeting, you should be on that verge to pray in the Spirit. You're praying in the Spirit so you can be sensitive to receive all that God has for you in those meetings. Right? Number two, what must you do? You keep the flesh under. That's how Kenneth Hagin calls that. He says, learn to keep the flesh under. So you keep the flesh under. In fact, I've come to realize that to get the benefits of most spiritual meetings, you ought to be prepared. And how you prepare is that as you pray in the Spirit, you keep the flesh under. It means that once you hear there's a spiritual meeting, there's a meeting. I'm talking about special meetings here. Right? Somebody goes to eat fufu 14 cedis. Why are you coming for a meeting after eating fufu 14 cedis? Who did this to you? I mean, you'll be dead. You'll be deadlock. You probably will even end up sleeping in the meeting and belging on somebody who's come to be blessed of that meeting. So you keep the flesh under. Right? It means that now you'll be more moderate with meals. Don't just get into meetings and Charlie, give me water. I make food too much. That's being careless. When you do that, you don't get the benefits of spiritual meetings. There are certain meetings I went into, I fasted. I fasted several days into the meeting, and I got into the meeting on a fast. Some of you, I've taught you this, right? Even our normal prayer sessions, right? Don't come there with all the six balls of banku and, you know, three balls of kinky, four cedis with fish. Then you intentionally come in there. What are you coming to do in there? You're not coming to pray. You're coming to scare us. Right? So you learn to keep the body under. You can eat, but just a bit, just a light one. Right? Yeah. I'm not talking to people who just want to come. I'm talking to people who want to come and be blessed. So you can say, please, this one is not for me. Because me, I like to eat it heavy. No, you just might not get the best out of these meetings. So keep the flesh under. Right? Keep it under. You can eat, but, you know, it shouldn't be overly, you know, something you can't carry. You can't even walk to the meeting. How do you expect God to speak to you in the flesh like this? Right? So don't have that. Just keep it under. Okay? Thirdly, you do well to release or speak faith-filled words on how and what you want the meeting to be to you. You release faith-filled words on how the meeting is going to be for you. So if you're getting into a meeting, you speak faithful words. I receive all that there is for me in this meeting. In this meeting, I'll prophesy. In this meeting, I'll lay hands. In this meeting, I'll be ministered to and I'll minister to someone. I'm preparing for these spiritual meetings. In this meeting, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to be so blessed. You will speak out these faith-filled words. In this meeting, revelation knowledge comes to me. As I hear God's word taught, my heart set on fire. I receive all that this meeting has for me. So as you release these faithful words, you direct the meeting in your favor. I'll be blessed. I'll be blessed in this meeting. Oh, in this meeting, I'll receive healing. You go and you tell your friends, say, you see this meeting? I am going to be blessed in this meeting. So you're going to be speaking faithful words for the meeting, for the session that you're going to be having. And it's very important because people don't know these things. And sometimes they wonder, how is it that people get the best out of meetings? No, meetings don't just bless people ordinarily. People are conscientized. They've conscientized themselves for these meetings. They walk into them with that consciousness. So pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Keep the flesh under. Release faith-filled words ahead of the meeting. Speak forth faith-filled words ahead of the meeting. All right? Don't forget to come along with your Bibles, your notepads, ready to learn. Okay? That's also preparing for the meeting. Don't hope somebody's going to bring you a Bible or somebody's going to, you know, help you get something across. No. Come along with everything that you need for the meeting and get there on time. In meetings, you don't want to be late. If you come 2 hours after a meeting, you are most likely not going to be blessed by that meeting. I mean, there's genuine times where, you know, because of work, things crop up and all that, you're not able to show up. So you close and then you just troop in. But you must be able to come on time for meetings. Right? Learn to come on time for meetings. One of the ways we place priorities on meetings is the time we show up. Oftentimes, if you don't place priority on a meeting, you're not going to show up on time. You're going to lag around and then come in when the service is almost over. So you need these things before a meeting. Spiritual meetings, special meetings, whatever meeting it is. Now, during the meeting, what are some of the things you're supposed to do? Remember, I shared with you that the church has a culture, right? There's a culture of the believer, and we must learn it. Remember, a disciple is taught, or disciples are taught. We saw Paul teach disciples in Acts chapter 2, in Acts chapter 4. Verse 24. Right? So, we get to realize that we must learn these things. Let's learn them. Alright? So, during the meeting, there are also things that you must do during the meeting as the meeting is on. So, now you have done everything before. And you're in the meeting. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verses 1. And in the day of Pentecost, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, remember, not one, not two, not three, all with one accord. Let's see something in Acts chapter 4, verse 24. You already have those scriptures. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they had heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. So one accord is something we frequently will see in God's body. We'll see it. It's an interesting word. With one mind. In one place. One mind in deed and action. It's actually a unique word. It's oneness of the mind. One accord. Homothymadon, one accord. It's together. Now, this word actually helps us understand the uniqueness of Christian communities or Christian meetings or Christian gatherings. So, you know, it's homo thymadon. Rush along and in unison. So there's a unison. There's a rush along. Everybody's pulling along uniformly. And, you know, the image is almost like, it's almost musical. For some of you who have studied music, you understand what it means to be in unison. Those of you who have done choir, you understand when they say unison. It means we're all singing the same, right? Together, right? Like a number of notes sounded, which, you know, harmonize together in tone and in pitch. So when we come together in unison, we're different kinds of notes, but we sound together. We are brought together. And when we are brought together, we make a beautiful sound. So when there's a great concert and there's a unison, it means everybody is singing together, together, collectively. They understand what's going on. We don't find one body, you know, just singing another part. No, we're singing uniformly together. So there's a harmony in pitch, harmony in tune, in tone, harmony in that song that we sing is a word in one accord. So, you know, obviously, the Holy Ghost becomes that director through the set man of the house. But it's an amazing thing in one accord. So during the meeting, the disciple and every believer must look out for this unison that's supposed to occur. So it's in one accord. Maybe we're singing a song and we say, "So we lift up holy hands." Then you find some people there who are sitting down. I mean, lifting up holy hands demands everyone lifting up holy hands. That's in unison, in one accord. We say, "Come on, shout." See someone say, "No, I don't want to shout. These people like to shout." You are not serious. You have not been taught. And you are causing discord in the unity that we're trying to have in that meeting. Say, "Speak in tongues, speak in tongues, speak in the language of the Spirit." That's when you see someone say, he's looking up the ceiling somewhere. And even whistling, like looking up the ceiling. No, but that's wrong. In unison. Don't forget, it's in unison. It's in one accord. We say, "Come on, rejoice." So somebody is shouting. Somebody is running. Someone is twirling around in reckless abandon. Somebody is jumping, screaming. Then you find somebody like, "What's going on? These people are not so gentle at all." I mean, can't we have a normal, orthodox, flowing hymnal service? Please, no, we can't have. We can't have. So it's in unison. It's in togetherness. We come together and we're rejoicing. Somebody's jumping. Somebody's clapping. Somebody's is running. Somebody's running about, you know, twirling around in reckless abandon. Just flowing in the spirit of the meeting and what the meeting demands. So, during meetings, all right? During meetings, there is oneness. Don't forget this, because it distorts meetings. It distorts meetings. maybe with all that's in my heart, I will sing. Then you see someone not singing. I will praise. Ah. Then you see somebody's just lost in there. He doesn't know what's going on. I lift my hands to honor you. Ah. You see that somebody's not in what is going on. No, the person has not been taught. So you that has been taught, you will put this into effect. Are you listening? You put this into effect. We say, we're praying. Some of you should realize when we go to spiritual meetings, you can watch me because I'm a good example. Right? So say, we lift up holy, then I'm standing there. No, I'm already lifting up hands. I'm already praising the Lord. We say, lift up your voice loud and pray. We don't feel the Spirit. We don't feel, when we feel the Spirit, we pray. You're not serious. You are not serious. When you feel the Spirit is when you pray. No. There's an instruction in meetings. And when instructions are given in meetings, you respond to them. So you respond. Are you listening? During meetings, you respond. The man of God says, say after me. Then you just see a sect of people repeating. That's in discord. You're not in one accord. You're not united in what God is doing in that meeting pair that time. You're not doing what God wants to do. It says, everyone open your Bibles to John 3:16. Can we all read together? Say, I'll quote. I know John 3:16 in my head. I don't need to open. No, that's not what you need to do. In meetings, you just listen to instructions. The man of God says, and so we thank God for what he's done. Amen, amen, amen. And just two people say, amen. No, that's discord. Say, hallelujah. You see someone jumping. You see someone screaming. You see someone shouting. Come on, praise the Lord. You see someone running on Twitter. That's the spirit of the meeting. That's how you prepare. That's how you stay in meetings. Right? So during meetings, you want to avoid being the one that causes this discord in the meeting. There should be that oneness. Oneness. Don't frequently have an attitude of leaving meetings. I want to unite. 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 You alone. What's wrong with your bladder? Sit down there. Once you come into the meeting, no moving around. Are you listening? Let's have these effects in our meetings. Let's be this disciplined during meetings. Right? The third thing to do is the third thing or the same thing. Right? Speaking in tongues while the word of God comes forth. Speaking in tongues. Many just sit dead cold in meetings. 2 hours teaching session, they are dead cold. They have not spoken tongue one bit. So what do you do? Praying in the Spirit sensitizes your spirit man to receive the word of the preacher. It brings that kind of, I'm still in the meeting. I'm alive. I'm ready to receive. That's what praying in the Spirit will do. That's what praying in the Spirit does. So you pray in the Spirit while you go on or while the meeting is going on. Sometimes your lips can be moving. It's spiritual, very spiritual. It shows you are ready to receive. It shows you're in the spirit of that meeting. You're just, some women sit there, open their mouths. 30 minutes, your mouth is open. You can't, won't you speak in tongues a bit? All right? So when you sit down, you're listening. You see. Sometimes your mouth might be moving. Sometimes even the next person might see your mouth moving. It's not wrong. It's a very spiritual thing to do. The next person might see your mouth moving. But I mean, you're not making any sound, but the mouth is moving. It means I'm on that urge to receive what you're giving to me. I'm receiving. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing you. I can hear you. I'm following. That's what it means. And oftentimes when preachers have these reactions, and they see these things going on in meetings, I'm telling you, it pushes them to give you much more than they would have naturally given you. Because they know they're not putting their words on dead soil. So you are sensitive in that meeting. Praying in tongues under your breath. Praying in tongues under your breath. That's what you do. That's what you do. You're sensitizing yourself. You're getting yourself alert in what happens. And lastly, be attentive. Be attentive and be alert. Be attentive and alert. Sometimes, you know, a man of God might come close to you. He wants to lay hands on you. But because you're not attentive and alert, you're still sitting down. You don't know how to get up and, you know, lift up holy hands and say, "Ah, I'm receiving." That's not, you need to be attentive. You need to be attentive. You need to be attentive. See, the Holy Ghost is moving now. You need to be attentive. Alert. You're alert. You're sensitive to God's move in the Spirit. There's sometimes you might say, "You're healed. You're healed." Somebody is sitting down. I mean, those are not the kind of meetings we're going to have on Friday, but in teaching meetings as this, you will also need to be that sensitive. You're sensitive. You're on that edge. So now I'm laying hands. See, someone is sitting down. How can you be sitting down? No, you must get up. Respond. Respond. Say amen. You don't say, "Ah." No, you say amen. That's how you flow in meetings. Say, "Come on, just lift your hands and bless the name of the Lord." That's not the time to not feel like lifting up your hands. That's somebody who is not taught. No, you just suddenly do. So you are attentive and you are alert. Are you listening? Be attentive and be alert. Be attentive and be alert. During spiritual meetings, be attentive and be alert. Know what is going on in that meeting. Are you listening? Be attentive. Pray in tongues under your breath. Be in one accord. Hands lifted, singing praises, praying in the Spirit, rejoicing. Be in one accord during meetings. Avoid unnecessary movements. You don't want to be everywhere you are moving. So people can move up, till they miss out on whatever is going on in the meeting. Yeah? They miss out on whatever is going out in the meeting. Some go to take naps and then they come to join in the meeting. No, it's wrong. It's wrong. So be attentive and be alert. Now, what must you do after a meeting? Now, after a meeting, I'm just going to be just very general on it. And then we can go. After a meeting, you relive the moments and you stay in the spirit of that meeting. You relive the moment and you stay in the spirit of that meeting. If the meeting was about prayer, go back and relive what you received in that meeting. Relive it. If the meeting is on discipleship, go back and say, "I am going to make disciples. I am going to give myself to discipleship. I will multiply." That's living in the spirit of that meeting. So you are living in what you have been taught. Just hearing it and then you go and your life is the same way you came. As for you, your life is the same way you came. No, you don't want to live that way. All right? Now, when the services ends, all right, when the service ends, when the meeting ends, stay in fellowship with the brethren. For a while, there's sometimes where maybe you're in a hurry to do other things. But don't just leave church immediately. Don't leave meetings immediately. Get to know somebody that you did not know before. Get to speak to somebody that you have not spoken to before. Get to say hi to someone. Take someone's number. Get to be united in purpose. And it is in this time needs are felt. Somebody doesn't have food. You say, "Oh, come, I brought food along. Let me help you." Somebody does not have a vehicle to go. He says, "Oh, I have a car. Jump on. Let's move. You know, it can't be, let's strive together," right? You identify needs and you fulfill them. So after services, do this. After services, do this. Don't leave immediately. Don't leave immediately. Get to know someone. Get to talk to someone. Get to touch someone. Get to feel someone. God gives us fellowship to be in. And I trust that as you listen to this, blessed. And we're going to have several wonderful meetings. Several wonderful meetings. Spiritual meetings. Meetings that will bless us as we know how to prepare, be in them, what to do during meetings, and what to do after meetings. I pray for you that you are living in this. I said there's times where I went into meetings having not eaten for several days. That's how I went into meetings. Several days, and I get into a meeting. I'm weak in the flesh, but I know that my spirit is ready to receive. That's how impartations happen. That's how gifts of the Spirit are stirred in meetings. You prepare for meetings. Prepare for meetings. Prepare for meetings. You're praying into the meeting. You say, Lord, I speak, this meeting is mine. I receive words. Words of life. Words of life. The eyes of my understanding in these meetings are enlightened. Every single day I'm getting better. I get better. I get better. You speak these things to yourself. Speak faith-filled words. You spend time praying. You keep the flesh under. You want to make sure that these things are in check. You're in that meeting in one accord, praying in the Spirit, lifting up holy hands, rejoicing, not looking around and wondering, what's going on? What's happening here? Why are the people so happy? What's so exciting about Jesus? What's this? No, that's somebody who has not been taught. But right from these meetings and several other meetings we're going to be having, you're going to get the best out of them. See, there are meetings that can catapult you into depths. Depths, I'm telling you. Depths, I'm telling you. Depths, great depths, meetings that God himself orchestrates to push you into things and cause you to manifest certain things for ministry. It happens in meetings. It happens in meetings. One of the meetings that I heard God speak to me about the ministry of laying on of hands, I never would lay hands. It was not something I'll do. Yeah. In that meeting, I lay on the floor and I felt rashes, you know, of electrical current just flowing through my hands. It was in the meeting I had this. And then the Lord said, as you lay hands on people, if you lay hands on people, these two things will happen. He says, number one, the sick will get healed. As you lay hands, the sick will get healed. And he said, number two, ministry will be imprinted on the hearts of people and the gifts of the Spirit will come alive. I had this in a meeting. I probably wouldn't have known that I had such a ministry of laying on of hands to see ministry imprinted on the hearts of people. It was in a meeting. So we want to come to meetings. I've had directions in meetings. Directions, things that God told me that I am doing or that I have done, I saw them in meetings. And you're also going to do so. You have direction for your disciples in meetings. You receive them in meetings. Yes, you will. As you prepare for these meetings, several other meetings we're going to be having, you'll receive directions. Where to go, what to do, when to do, how to do. You'll receive them during teaching services, during laying on of hands, during prayer services. Your life's going to be directed as you give more heed to meetings. And so you stay blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So listen to this, put it into practice, and I trust, you know, it's going to bless you. Stay blessed.